Joining us again online are our Tauranga Pru commentators, political commentators, Dale Stevens, our political commentator, every Wednesday afternoon. Me tuku mihi ki a koe, Dale. Thank you so very much for coming back. This is the last week before Christmas, so, you know, me te kerehi me te tu, you.
Ai, kia ora kia koro, e te tuahini no te whanganui, kia ora, nice to see you. Great to be on the white waves. I must say, I've got a collar on, but below this I've got boardies and flip-flops. So there you go.
Yes, you're a nice collar. And our very special guest this afternoon, Harete Hipango, National List MP. Thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon. Me tuku mihi ki a koe.
Tēnā koe, tēnā koro, tēnā koutou, ngā mihi ki a koutou.
And joining,
lovely to be here and to see you both.
Yes, wonderful. And Tu Williams, he is joining us now. He is the chair of Kahurangi Blue. They are the Māori interest group supporting National. He'll be joining us in a couple of seconds when his technology kicks in, but we do want to welcome him as well. So, you know, we're hogging up Dale Stevens' very valuable commentary space. But can I just start with you, Harete? Wow, what a big year you've had. And, you know, how are you feeling? It's been a huge year for you.
It's not about me, Claudette. It's been a huge year for our people of Aotearoa New Zealand. Massive. Not just this year, but last year. And here's hoping 2022 is going to be way better than both we'd ever thought or contemplated would have happened. For me personally, though, it's been a year where I've been called back to service down at Te Whare Paremata. So back on the job, and it's all very well to say that it's a case of holding the government to account. Ultimately, it's our people who hold the government to account. We're down there in that space as a face and a voice representative of the communities we come from to articulate the concerns of our people. Massive year for our people, and may we not have another one like it. 2022 has got to be better. There's still that element of uncertainty. I hope that fear is going to be dispensed with. Done enough about me. There's Dale. It's good to see you, my friend. And how's that? I didn't realise that you had a weekly segment on Radio Wāti on Wednesday, so I'm going to have to tune in on a regular basis from now on in.
Too Williams, thank you so very much for joining us as well. Too the chair of Kahurangi Blue, wonderful to have you here with us as well. Listen, I just want to start off, Dale. Look, it's going to be a big year. It's going to be a huge year, as Harete had pointed out. It's going to be a really big year for the country as we head down into the elections, because we come 2022. There's not going to be much time. So what do you think, or how do you think we will be thinking? You know, tell us how we're thinking, Māori, the communities are thinking, when we're wanting to have a really good opposition like National. We want to see what's available, what National has for us. What are we going to be thinking about in terms of an alternative government to the one that we've got now?
Well, there's good news and bad news ahead for us for next year. I think the good news is that you're going to see from the National Party some real alternative options for our people, some real consideration and kind thought going into how we develop our policies going forward. I'm delighted to see that the new leadership team has immediately embraced the social investment program that was stalled when Bill English didn't make it back into government. That's a very important piece of work. It's gone to Nicola Willis, showing how important it is for the party. And it plays to one of the strengths, I think, of the new leadership, in particular Christopher Luxon, who does have a huge social conscience. And I think we're going to see some real alternatives come through next year. The bad news is that I don't think we've seen the end of COVID at all. I think that what's happened, if you look at how we chart things from January last year to where we are today, 2020 was relatively easy to close down three rocks in the South Pacific and close, you know, three or four airports and stop some ships coming in. The problem was always going to be how we open up again. It's been delayed, massively delayed. There's now issues around vaccination, personal safety, MIQ. borders, whether we do or don't wear masks. And I think that confusion is going to continue into the next year because I don't think we've seen the last of the variants. We've already been told by World Health experts that before a pandemic like this finally gets under control, it mutates and mutates and mutates. And we're seeing that, and we're seeing that mutation taking place quite quickly. I think we'll see that into the new year. I'd like to give a shout out right at the start, though, to all our Māori health workers, our volunteers, our kaumātua, our iwi leaders, because they've picked up the slack where this government has let our people down. And that is that they recognised right at the start that it was the community that knew best how to get hold of their people. It was the communities that knew how they could reach in and get these people on board with understanding what the vaccination could do for them. When this government was centralised and making decisions from Wellington and not allowing or proceeding appropriately for our people, our own people got up and did the mahi. And I think it's a big thank you for the work they've done and we'll have to continue to do because there's still a long way to go.
Look, I do want to pick up on that point specifically about our communities looking after our people too. In Te Tai Tukero, as an example, there was Dr. Shane Reti vaccinating our people, testing our people. But that story wasn't picked up by Pākehā media. Of course, it was picked up by Māori media, and we were with him every step of the way. It was like he just went back to the roots. That's what we want to see in our deputy leader of the National Party when he was back then. I mean, more must be done to highlight how our Māori in National are working alongside us, for us and with us, taking the lead from them, following them. I guess the question is, what role should Kahurangi Blue play in making sure that that type of pūrākau is being told to our people?
I think that that's a really important question, Claudette, and thank you for the opportunity to be part of this discussion this evening. And you're right, Dr. Shane Reti spent five solid weeks, out in the community, assisting Māori provider services with the effort in the campaign and the mahi to get our people in Te Tai Tukero, and especially in those rural communities that are hard to reach, to get, first of all, the information about the vaccine. Now, that was really important, so to do the education work. And then to allow those communities to then decide, or people in those communities, to decide whether or not they wanted to be vaccinated. And in talking with Shane about that, he said, without exception, every one of them made the decision to get vaccinated. I also want to pay tribute to him too, because he was part of that voice right at the very beginning, when Māori health providers and our Māori medical health experts were advising the government, lobbying the government before the vaccine rollout about the need to take a different approach to the rollout of the vaccination into the Māori community. And that they needed to do that right at the very beginning. That advice was ignored, and we have the consequence of that advice not being taken up, as we know now. So I just want to support what Dale has said about, commending our Māori leaders, our Māori community leaders, our Māori health provider services, our marae communities, who have all put the shoulder to the wheel in the last few weeks to make the best effort to ensure our people are going to be properly protected from COVID.
Thank you. I just want to move on from COVID, though, Hariti, and pick up on a point from Dale. pick up on Dale's point, and that is around the National Party picking up on some of the great work that was done under Bill English and also Finlayson. Look, we have had a lot of progress in terms of land development done under the previous national government. We have now got, and I've got a comment coming in from one of the viewers, we are, the environment has changed, Māori has changed, we are wanting rangatiratanga sovereignty. That's about nationals, that's about one of nationals' core values, about responsibility, self-determination. That's what they say in Pākehā in their core values. That's what we say in Te Ao Māori, rangatiratanga. And you, if you look at some of those leaders, you know, all the leaders that have come up in terms of land, water, that is what they're seeking, economic, social independence, which is what was given under the previous national government. We want to know, though, going into 2022, whether or not we are going to get that opportunity under a national government, if we're going to get a return to our rangatiratanga, our self-determination, self-governance under national.
Well, you've covered quite a few points there, Claudette, and I'm going to pick up to start with on the social investment and Dale acknowledging Bill English and you also adding to that, Chris Finlayson. I'd like to also acknowledge Whanaunga Dame Tariana Turia, who was the leader of the Māori Party at the time and was in coalition with the National Party in government. And that's where the driving and the motivation came from. It was that combination, actually, of both Bill and Tariana. And that was the, Tariana is the whaia of whānau ora. So I happen to be the spokesperson for whānau ora in the National Party, as well as Māori development, children and oranga tamariki. And I'm just going to bring this into everything that you've touched on. So yes, important to acknowledge Bill for social investment in the National Party, but also, as Māori, what we bring to politics and what I bring to the National Party is the importance of whakawhanaungatanga, irrespective of the political affiliations that we have. We're a party that's in opposition at the moment. We're not able to achieve an awful lot unless we do have good pick up in the media. And I'm going to touch on the point about the solid work that my colleague Shane Retty, who is still a practicing general practitioner, doctor, the solid work that he's been doing on the ground for 5 weeks plus, the fact that Pākehā media didn't pick up on that and portray the positive story and the good hard work that's been done, not only by Shane, but the National Party. So unless it's controversial and it's negative, then that gets good pick up, that gets good play and air time. So I do acknowledge Māori media because we do get the opportunity to have that voice and that face through the Māori medium of radio and TV and the written, the pānui that goes out. So with the Māori development mahi that National Party is looking at doing, I just would like also to add that social investment in terms of what we do as Māori, this is who we are, this is the fabric and fibre of our DNA. So just the fact that we come into politics, we're actually bringing in what we do in our own communities, since Maira Anō really. And so social investment is this term. It's what we live as Māori within our communities, looking after each other. Pūtea, resources. And I put it down to pūtea, people, and the opportunities that we have to make the most of it. So it's not always about the money. When we talk as Māori about economy, it's not always in those fiscal terms. So this sense, this word of social investment, it's about all the other benefits that are to be gained from that. So I've touched and talked about whakawhanaungatanga. Whānau ora came about through that allegiance to our people, our community, and the political alliance between National and the Māori Party. So this is something that I've talked constantly with the leaders since I've been in the National Party. What it actually needs is more of us there in caucus. We need more MPs in the National Party. And that's going to move us on, I sense, to some more kōrero, which Dale and Tu will contribute about. But it's all very well for us to be talking. We actually need some action And for that action, we need the numbers on the ground in the caucus to be able to influence and to persuade. So Chris Luxon, and with his deputy Nicola Willis, I've spent quite a bit of time talking to Nicola and engaging and involving her in the mahi that I do in the Māori development space, papakāinga, housing. So Nicola's led the charge for the National Party, and she's made really good traction and ground in the housing portfolio. She's moved into the deputy leadership and is very influential there with Christopher Luxon. Chris has been watching quietly for the last 12 months, learning the art of politics. Now he's thrust into, much sooner than he would have, we would have anticipated, but in the time that he's been there, he's had really good uptake. He's resonating well with our public. And within a week, we had a poll that came out that bumped National up into the 30s we haven't seen for a good 14, 16 months. So I've said enough. I just wanted to share that some of the whakaaro, the space that I've been working, but it needs more of us in the caucus, in the National Party, as members of Parliament, to be able to affect that influence. And we need more of us, frankly, in shadow cabinet.
Mm. I think one of the things, you know, I picked out one of the values earlier of the National Party, Dale, and I want to, you know, if I can, bring up, you know, an old adage by Parikura Horimia, and that was, you know, hold the line. We need to, as Māori, hold the line, the National Party line, regardless of what happens to the National Party when they're in opposition and if they have, you know, internal ructions, whether it's about the leadership. Actually, it is about the party and the kaupapa, the philosophies of the National Party that are enduring. People can come and go, but the kaupapa, the values are enduring, like loyalty to our country, like recognition of Te Tiriti, and thanks very much to you and to Tu for including having that included. It is about our national identity and security. It is about equal opportunity. I mean, these are the types of things that we talk about in Te Tiriti, our treaty rights as a treaty partner. Everything that the National Party values here and has written in their values, which is ages old, that's what we need to go back to, holding the line of these values.
Yeah, look, I'm going to address the taniwha in the room, but what you mentioned, Matua Parikura, I was fortunate enough, my first effort in a campaign was against Parikura up in Ikaroa Rāwhiti with Derek Fox. And the lesson I learned out of that campaign was exactly what Hariti was referring to before, that within Parliament, Māori work in a much more collaborative manner than the rest of the various caucuses. And I think it's that that agreed commitment to our people which holds Māori in a strong stead within the walls of Parliament. So that's the first thing. I read in between the lines from the last question that Hariti so eloquently answered, and I think what you are asking is, are we going to see mixed messages from National going forward about whether it's a separatist agenda or whether it's an equality agenda or an equity agenda, and how are we going to deal with Māori and Māori leadership? And actually that Māori relationship with National, God willing, it forms a government in 2023. The reality of it is that we have, on the left-hand side of the political spectrum, we have a government that wants to centralise everything, control everything, and we've seen massive failures at a community level, we referred to it at the start, around health delivery for Māori. What National believes in is moving it out to our hapori, and letting the communities take ownership, let the communities decide, let the communities drive best benefits for them. That is a really important concept for you to consider when you're thinking about what National wants to do and how they want to work with Māori. We want Māori to be very much at their community level, having a say in how their future is placed within a centre-right government. So I think those are really important things. And so for National going forward, I know that we've got great relationships across Māori already. Tu and I talk about this all the time. The various people that we know who are supportive of those National Party values, which we all know, around personal responsibility, personal growth, making the effort and getting a fair reward for the effort you make. I firmly believe, as does Tu and as does our caucus, That's exactly what Māori want as well. And so the challenge for us, the opportunity in front of us, is to develop policy that is inclusive of Māori aspirations within that bell curve of a standard policy. I don't think successive governments have actually nailed yet how to include Māori properly within policy. That's an opportunity for us, and I believe we've got the horsepower to do that.
Well, you see, too, you know, I'll just bring up the story that Peter Tipene talks about every time I interview him about politics. But Peter Tipene said that, you know, when Sir Graham Latimer was, you know, there and James Henare was in his time in Ngāti Hene when it came time for the elections. Everybody voted blue in Ngāti Hene, and the very few handful of people that voted red, they'd get in their car and go and chase down those houses to find out where those red votes were. But then, when Simon became the leader and went to Waitangi, it was Wasi Shortland that stood up at Waitangi and said, that was us. We were blue. We were blue, but then you caught the bus and left us behind. So now what we want to do, too, is to get back on that bus with a government who is into lifting incomes. They've got policies where we're lifting incomes. This is what we are doing with our trade and exports. And Dale will know about this. Technology sector. This is, you know, we're a burgeoning group or community in the technologies. Our iwi and hapu are building houses. I mean, that's part of the national policy as well, too. We want to get back on that bus. We want to be driving that bus. That's what we need to be telling our people, is it not?
Indeed. And not only are we, should we be telling our people, but our people are already doing it, to be honest. What we have to do is to be right in there beside our people and supporting them in their aspirations and in their endeavours to seek well-being for their whānau, hapū, and iwi. And, we so often hear media tends to focus on, you know, the negative statistics in Māori, in te ao Māori, and how we are disproportionately represented in those statistics. Here, important to address those, because, you know, that's a tale that we seriously need to address. And, with the onset of COVID, over the last couple of years, we've actually seen that tail grow, you know, and people who are experiencing hardship, homelessness, poverty, it's risen to unprecedented levels. So, you know, there's a challenge there, and a challenge for us, if you know, coming back into government in 2023, when we're talking about the economy, how does the economy that National talks about speaks to that tale? That's really important.
Well, part of your policy priorities is about that, though, isn't it? Because through consultation, the National Party, you've established key issues. And so when we're talking about poverty, it is about lifting incomes, which our people are already working on really hard in the rural sector. By driving up development in our as part of the priorities, the policy priorities for National is getting houses built. That is what our hapū and iwi are already doing, started to do under the initial Te Rere Whenua that was established, that was introduced by Finlayson. I mean, so your policy priorities are in fact what we are already doing. We just don't hear it being talked about enough by National in the House, I guess.
And so just picking up on some of the comments that I made, Claudette, we've got 33 of us that are in caucus. And we have one Māori who's in Shadow Cabinet, and we have three whakapapa Māori and two of us who are whakaaro Māori with our thinking and what we articulate and the values that we bring and share within caucus. The reality is, though, that we are a minority within caucus. So we're positioned in having to persuade and convince our colleagues with what is going to be incorporated into policy. What's very important, and this is where we have the likes of Tu and Dale and our members within Kahurangi National to influence in the formulation of policy with the whakaaro that comes through and how that can be also integrated into the bigger policy. So, for example, you've talked about housing and housing development. So Nicola Willis leads the portfolio on that. I've reached out to all of my colleagues, as we do as Māori, and in the Māori development space, it's not just Māori development. From my whakaaro, my thinking, that interweaves and links into the housing, to justice, to education, to health, to all the other portfolios. That's the difficulty that we have. There's not enough of us within the caucus. We need more of us in terms of influencing for the policy that comes about through the National Party, for that strong essence of how what has worked well for we as Māori, how that actually can be of benefit and gain to more than we have as just Māori, but within the country. So Papakāinga developments, there's been some great work that's been happening there. I went along to a hui here in Whanganui a couple of months ago, Pākehi Māori, which was the Māori businesses and young Māori business people and their startup enterprises. When I made inquiries about how they source funding, many of them struggle because obviously going to the banks, we haven't got it, but through Te Puni Kōkiri, there's not funding there, as I understand it, for housing startup, you know, the initial investment, and for business startup, you have to have been proven for a couple of years before you can source the funding. So immediately with some of that policy that's in place, there's a barrier there. It's a block for our people. And so often our people, we turn and we give up in anguish unless we've got good advocates positioned there within the government sector. But this is where we as National, I think, do a deep dive into some of the government policies into Te Puni Kōkiri. And this is the benefit that I have sitting as a Member of Parliament on the Māori Affairs Select Committee. When we have the officials come before us in committee and probing and asking questions, we're limited with the time that we have. We don't always get the answers that we need. And therefore, we're constantly compromised. So at the moment in the National Party, I will bring it back. We are compromised. We don't have enough Māori there in caucus. So I'm turning to Tu, looking at you, Dale. I hope that you will join us in the 2023 election. 2020, we were holding out hope that you would be there. I lost my seat, many of us did. That was part of that COVID Jacinda Ardern factor, and people were riding on the crest of her popularity. Not so much now. So Tu, I turn to you, both you and Dale, and tune in to the listeners out there. Māori, National Party is standing candidates in the Māori seats for the first time since, goodness, forever, it seems. And coming back to Dale, you'll know, please come in, please share the whakaaro with me. So since quite a long time ago, and I'm picking up on your point with Waiharoi Shortland up at Waitangi, when he said the people were strong blue. Well, similar down here in Tuhariatoa Whanganui back in the 50s, 60s through to the 70s. My old people were strong National because the values resonated. They aligned with what our whakaaro is as Māori. And it is that mana motuhake. We talk about tino rangatiratanga. Those are the words that are used within the Treaty of Waitangi. And we've worked hard for the membership within the National Party to embrace acknowledgement, the right for acknowledgement of the treaty. And it's standing within the values of the National Party, just like our people of old did. But moving forward, we still have a lot of work to do, not just in the policy sector, but amongst the membership. So our listeners out there listening in, we need Māori members joining the National Party. Governments will come and go. When National comes in, we need more of us there.
Sure. Dale, can I just, I want to come to you, Dale, but I want to say this. I think National has lost its way. I think National has lost its focus on its values that resonated with Māori. I think National have actually lost focus of what their core intent is. Like Labour did when they went into opposition, they lost focus of who their core, what their core values were. What would you you know, and I hear that we don't have enough Māori. Actually, does it matter? If we, it doesn't matter at this point in time. We've got what we've got. Why can we not hear those values being talked about by the National Party?
Couple of great points. And first and foremost, we have to appreciate the last time we stood candidates in Māori seat was 1999. And so if you think what the world was like in 1999 for Māori and what it's like now, it's a completely different environment. Yeah. So we now have the rise of the Māori economy. We know that in 2016, the Māori economy had an asset value of about 48 billion. It's now at 69 billion, five short years later, and growing rapidly. We now have 80-odd percent of iwi post-settlement who now have pūtea, who are now investing in their futures, who are now jumping onto the domestic and international marketplaces. And I think this is where National needs to tune in, because we can't keep thinking about Māori when we last had candidates in Māori seats. The world has completely moved on. Māori are now commercially focused, and that actually is a strength for the National Party. So if we think about where Māori are now and the aspirations our rangatahi have going into the marketplace, we are ideally placed to work with them and to bring them along on this journey and help empower them to be part of that political dialogue. We need to understand the new world that Māori are working in, because that's actually a world that National will be very comfortable in. And you brought up another point before about membership of the Māori Party, how many Māori we have in Parliament. Yes, it's important to have Māori, because that's their ngako. That's, you know, the understanding of the Māori world. But it's more important that you have a caucus that understands fully what we want to achieve for Māori. And from the discussions that Hareti and myself too, we've all been having with our colleagues and friends in the caucus, there's a huge enthusiasm for growing that understanding, for working with Māori. And we've got to get our policies together, voted for and in favour by all our non-Māori as well, all our Pacifica people, our Asian people. It's important that we understand this is about the future for our Indigenous culture, but actually it's about all our communities. When we bring Pacifica, we bring Asia, we bring our Afrikaans, all those people in together, we need to understand how all that works going forward. And I think where we're at now, I think National is ideally placed to take that opportunity.
Yeah, and, you know, again, too, I would say that that economic development that Dale talked about hasn't just arrived overnight. No, it hasn't. But actually, there was a lot of impetus that around the Māori economy that grew as a result of National's input, even back in Palmer's day, from what, so his name has escaped me, Aroha Mai from Te Kwiti. That he, when he was
Vulture,
in
it, Vulture.
Thank you. Under his day, actually, we saw the beginning of the Māori economy really taking off. So it's not as though it happened, you know, like just now. Those kinds of things have to be, we have to be continuously reminded of that it was under that government, not this government. How, what are we going to do about this?
Well, you know, the Māori economy, as we talk about it, you know, today, really came to a much sharper focus back in 2010 when National Party and Māori Party were in a supply and confidence agreement. And Peter Sharples led the focus around the Māori economy and hosted a workshop in Wellington, a one-day workshop, out of which a task force was established, and that task force had the responsibility of developing or investigating the Māori community. And then in 2010, we had, for the very first time, an official report on the Māori economy. So from that point on, you know, the discussion around the Māori economy, you know, has continued to, you know, to move, you know, the trajectory is going upwards, you know, and that's great. You know, so we've got something there that, you know, that is really substantial that we can leverage on. And, you know, as Dale said, some of, we have been talking, you know, to our MPs and to our caucus and to our party members whenever we get the chance, you know, to bring their attention to the significance and the importance of that economy. But can I just go back, Claudette, to the comments that Harete and Dale have made, you know, around representation. I think that that's really, really important. You know what our people are like? You know, seeing is believing. Because if we are going to sell the National Party as a party of choice for Māori, then we've got to look like it. And at the moment, we have a challenge. So, you know, what Dale and Harete have been saying about the importance of having a more Māori in the caucus is an absolute priority for this for our party, and we've certainly been you know, articulating that with internally. So I think I was saying to Shane, and I think I've also said to Harete that at the moment I have 10 names of people of Māori, high caliber Māori, who have an interest in the National Party and an interest in the potential or the possibility of standing for the Māori Party. Now, you know, Kahurangi met the other night. One of the conversations was around the Māori seats and Māori representation. And we, you know, so others in our team, I'm sure will, you know, have other people that they can think of in their networks who, you know, may well be interested in standing for the Māori, standing for National in 2023. That's not just in the Māori seats, but that's also right. In the general seats as well.
Thank you. Look, I do want to pick up another elephant in the room, and it is about personalities, unfortunately. Politics is all about personalities, and we have seen National in opposite. I remember, can I just tell you another story? I remember Bill English saying, you know, we've got to stay united, we've got to stay, you know, close-knit and strong while we were in government, because he had been in opposition and he said he did not want any of us to experience the terrible, you know, the terrible environment that opposition was. He wanted us to be as united as possible. And National now is in opposition, and there have been personality fallouts. Now, this is what we're watching, and we are seeing this, and we can't even get to policies because we're listening to leaders talk about us in such derogatory ways, regardless of whether we like them personally or not. They're standing up in the House and they are talking about us in ways we don't want to hear. And so that is, we are having to fight that as well too. How do we overcome that, Dale?
Yeah, I'm going to correct you slightly. Politics is not about personalities. Media is about personalities. And media drive the personality like or dislike. And then, unfortunately, political parties on both sides of the political spectrum have to try and ride that one out and return, I guess, to a more positive position. Look, I agree that personal attacks, community attacks in Parliament are never pleasant. And as you'll know yourself, Claudette, every time you and I have a corridor, I have to finish with something positive because I'm not here at all to talk negatively. It's about being aspirational for our people. And I think that Parliament needs to take the same approach to do the right thing by all its communities, not just put them in a box when it's useful for them. You know, I think back to 2004, you know, Foreshore and Seabed and the complete cock-up that was, and how National came along and found a position that was an accord that met with more success than the previous government had. National, you know, when we get down to the core of writing good policy, we're very good at it. We suck at the messaging and the media gobble us up because of it. So we need to be very clear in getting our messaging right and getting our people along with us. Now, here's a classic example, and I do acknowledge too what you're saying about people who are prepared to be considered for candidate for National. On the other side of the coin, I know a lot of Māori who are saying, I'd love to be available for National, but my whānau wouldn't like it, or my iwi or my hapū wouldn't like it. And so there's a certain, I guess, political tribal element that takes place when there are good people wanting to put themselves forward, that we don't just select a candidate, we actually bring the whole whānau along on that journey as well. So for us to be able to do that our messaging to those people as part of the wider community has to be a lot clearer, and we've got to get past the media controlling the personality debate.
Just finally, just one final word from you all, Harete. Thank you again for joining us. What aspirational thoughts have you got for our people come 2022?
2022, I think importantly for our people, is about health and wellness. It's about what has been learned, what has been gained from the challenges of the last 2 years. We've been talking about the Māori economy and how that's flourished and grown. With that Māori economy, from the fiscal sense, it's about how that's going to apply for the benefit of all of our people. So not just those who are doing really well, it's about our people who are struggling. So 2022 has to be about recognising the hardships, the struggles, and moving forward. We as Māori communities do it so much better than, and I've talked about this with my colleagues. Whānau ora, we live, we exemplify that. And coming back, picking up on Dale, your comment about the Foreshore and Seabed Act and how National responded and reacted well with that. And again, this is me and my haka whanaungatanga with whanaunga. Tariana crossed the floor on that. I went down with my baby and there were thousands of us on that hikoi. And the wave of people, how we came together. It was the kaupapa, it was the cause, and how we really do come together in times of adversity and hardships, and we do it so much better. But we need a government, and that's where National will be so much more capable and competent to be able to resource, enable and empower our communities, because we know our problems, we actually know the solutions better than government telling us from up on high what the fix is. We know that. So 2022 is about our people being enabled, empowered. We know how to look after ourselves.
Ka pai. And two, what have we got? Yes.
You know, when you come down to it and simplify it, you know, our people, you know, want to have an environment within which they can flourish. That's, you know, that's the simple message. And that means, you know, access to good healthcare, access to good educational choices, good housing opportunities, strong employment, and you know, an income level, you know, that enables them to put pay on the table, educate their children, enable them to access, you know, good services, and also to be able to have, you know, a discretionary fund, you know, where they can also have, you know, those extras, which, you know, currently for many of them is just simply not the case. So in simple terms, for me, that's what, you know, our people want. And, you know, that's certainly what, you know, we in the National Party, and those of us in Kaurangi and our MPs, you know, we will be driving for policies for the 2023 election that reflect that, and that those policies reflect the commitment that the National Party has made at its annual general meeting this year, in August of this year, that commitment to the Treaty of Waitangi. What does that mean, and how do we give effect to it?
Thank you. And Dale, last word from you.
Oh, I'm picking a heavy o te tau. A couple of things I'd like to see much less of next year. I don't want to see any more documents dumped on a Friday afternoon, important documents that the public has a right to know and understand. I don't want to see legislation introduced into the House on the last sitting day of the year, despite being promised at the start of the year. And I don't want to see any more of this government under the impression that because it got a majority, it can ram through whatever it wants, whether or not it was part of their manifesto. And we've seen way too much this year of this government trying to control everything from local government to central government to three waters to our rights to hold elections in whatever years, and then centralising everything and making it of no value to most of our communities. So those are things I want to see less of. But I just wanted to finish with a couple of congratulations. Unusually for me, I'm going to congratulate a Labor Party member. I'd like to say well done to Chris Hipkins. And I say that because he's had a huge work portfolio. He's had to work his tail off in two big areas. And when you think about some of the messaging he had to stone-faced to deliver to the public that should have been delivered by the Prime Minister or the Deputy, and they left it up to Chris Hipkins on hugely contentious subjects. I hope the guy has a great summer break because he's well and truly earned it. But to me, the two stars, I've already mentioned my main star there, and that's our Māori health professionals. But in Parliament, I think the two MPs of the year are Erica Stanford and Nicola Willis. Both of them got major concessions from the government despite being in a minority and being in opposition without any ability to vote. Erica got some key changes for migrants, for separated families, that really is going to help our communities come back together, despite the fact that the latest shambles by immigration with the computer system not working has meant that nothing's been processed. So well done to Erica for that, and obviously for Nicola Willis, not only taking on deputy leader, but she managed to get a key change to the way we intensify housing to get more houses built. Yes, it was mitigated through select committee to make sure it was fair all round. But to get both of those wins in a year when National was busy looking at its own navel and not presenting for the country, and certainly the media didn't want to hear anything but the latest personality clash. So I congratulate both those women for an outstanding effort, and let's have more of it for 2022.
Thank you so very much.
To finish off, Claudette, may I, adding to what you've said, Dale, and this is somewhat of a bias, but I'm going to acknowledge my colleague and friend, Dr. Shane Retty, because there's so much that's not reported, and all of the hard work that he's quietly done on the ground amongst our people and his communities up north. He has he's just quietly gone along and done what's needed to be done.